Hello. Aaron, are you there? I know it's
I
been a
am.
while.
Start my video. Okay,
Hey.
can you hear me? See me?
Yes, and I love that tree in the background on your wall.
Oh, yeah, it's got family pictures on it. It's kind of cool.
That is neat. Oh my gosh. All right, what are we coaching on?
So, I wrote in to ask coaches about this too, and it's just something I'm struggling with on a daily basis. The whole coronavirus, the world's in upheaval. I'm in Montana and they've given us the shelter in place order. So only essentials are open right now, the grocery stores, medical professionals, which I'm a medical assistant in a cardiology office. The kids are home from school. Basically, I like structure and order. And right now, all the routines are broken. And so
Well, there's your
with that
painful
comes,
thought.
yeah. And,
Oh, you don't know which one is the painful thought. I can tell you don't know.
No, I don't, and I'm having a lot of anxiety with this, and then with the
All the
anxiety
routines are
comes eating.
broken.
Okay.
Does that feel true?
It does feel true right now.
What else does
I
it
know.
feel like?
Chaotic makes me feel anxious.
Anxious. Do we think that thinking about being home during coronavirus with our children, that all the routines are broken, is going to be super helpful for getting through this?
No, it's probably not going to be helpful.
This is a really key point. Just because something might be true, it also has other feelings attached to it. And if they're not helpful, it's not a good way to be thinking. Because let
Okay.
me ask you this, what's the solve? Everybody goes back to work. Let's go back to our routines.
I know, I think that's where I've been struggling with the model is it's like but really, all the routines are broken, and there is mayhem going on. You know what I mean?
No, there's
There's
no mayhem. You know, mayhem is a feeling.
okay.
Anxiousness is a feeling, all because of your thought. If you like, and it's mayhem, how does that feel? Or actually, mayhem is is another thought. How does it feel? All the
It
routines are broken, and let's just make it one big giant thing, and it's mayhem.
All makes me feel anxious.
Yeah, this
All
is how we
anxiety
know
all
this
the
is
time.
not your circumstance. Circumstances don't create anxiety. They don't create any feelings at all. Circumstances are neutral. Your actual circumstance is I live in Montana. I'm a medical assistant. We're under shelter in place. I'm at home with my children.
Yes.
Your judgment is all of our routines are broken and this is mayhem.
Okay.
This is really important. I'm not going to take it away from you because the problem that you're having right now is if you don't really understand that there are other ways to think about this, the only solve for you is for you to be anxious and full of anxiety and suffering until all the routines get back in place. That will be the only solution.
And that's how it feels, and that's how I'm having trouble getting past that step because I know it's going to be a while. This is not an issue that's going to be fixed
But
tomorrow.
you think it's going to be a while of this. It's going to be a while. The only thing that's going to be a while is being at home with your children.
Okay.
That's the only thing. Whether or not y'all establish routines, whether or not it's mayhem the next, 6 weeks or whatever,
Okay.
that's an interpretation of your next 6 weeks. You're giving no airtime to anything else could be happening.
So we need to make new routines.
You
We
need
need to
to make
make,
new thoughts. You're not going to
okay.
make new routines until you have new thoughts. Otherwise, you're going to make routines from anxiety. So here's what will happen. Mama needs to feel better. How old are your kids?
12 and 15.
You guys are going to need to like never bitch. You're going to need to read novels and don't spend all your time on the internet. Everybody has to get enlightened and the house should be perfectly clean. And is everybody on board?
That's funny because when the kids knew they were going to be home from school, my daughter's like, oh my gosh, we're home from school. And I'm like, I'm so excited. My house is going to get so clean.
Yeah. Like that's where anxiety says, I need my comfort. So now I'm going to force everyone around me to behave in a way that makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm freak out when they're all acting like the way they want to feel comfortable.
Yeah. Because I'm going to control what's in my house. And that's going to make me feel better.
No. And that's the part that always fails us. It's like, we just think I have a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old and I'm going to control them and then I'll feel better rather than I'll learn over the next 6 weeks, the most valuable lesson I'm supposed to always learn from this, that every time I was ever anxious about anything before coronavirus came from my thoughts, everything after coronavirus came from my thoughts. Let me ask you this. When you had all your amazing routines in place, did you just have no anxiety? Is anxiety like brand new to you? You're like, what the fuck is this shit?
No, I've always been on the verge of anxiety. This just kind
of... No, you mean when you had all your routines and everybody was at school and doing the stuff that's routines and it was like, it wasn't perfect?
No, it wasn't.
So you had anxious thoughts even then?
I did.
Yeah. So what do you think is the biggest lesson you're going to learn the next few weeks?
How to rethink about my routines.
How to start taking ownership that it was always your thinking that created any emotion you had.
Okay.
So if you don't want to feel anxious right now, your answer is, I need to work on all the routines are broken. And it's mayhem.
Can you give me an example?
I want you to come up with one. No, seriously. I'll walk you through this.
Okay.
Tell me right now what routines aren't broken.
Getting up in the morning and taking a shower.
Okay, so you're still up every day and you look nice today. You don't look like you stink.
No, I did shower today.
Your house actually looks very clean to have two teenagers in it.
So yeah, that's not broken. I can still get up and take a shower and get dressed. That's still normal.
What else is still normal? You still cooking dinner?
Yep. I'm still cooking dinner and the kids, they alternate who empties the dishwasher and then I load it after dinner. So okay. My kitchen's still clean.
What other routines are y'all still doing, even though you're living together? Are they studying at all?
Yeah, they are. They
backyard.
They're doing it on the computer, their schoolwork, and they've got Zoom classes that they're logging into to ask their teachers questions, that kind of thing, which that's
like,
different.
Y'all are like us. We have figured out the new school routine.
Mm-hmm.
It took Logan 1 week to figure out how to get in Zoom. Show up and do his work.
Yep.
And you know, one of the nice things about that generation is they adapt fucking fast.
Yeah.
Logan's like, are we going to have to go back? He likes the Zoom classes. He's just like, I ain't got no commute. Logan's like an old person with coffee. I ain't got no commute. I got extra time for myself every morning.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. So we know all that. What else? Mm-hmm. What's the opposite of mayhem?
Order.
Okay. So what kind of order do you still have in your life?
Well, I have groceries in my cupboard and I have dinner I can make and I've got my children are in my house and they're safe and they're doing their schoolwork. And so and I do still have a job that I go to. It's just the schedule has changed right now because there's reduced patient volume. Mm-hmm. So that's
You're
the
on
same.
This Zoom call. So you obviously had enough wherewithal to schedule yourself to be here.
Yes. So.
So let me ask you again, are all the routines broken and it's complete mayhem in your life?
No, only some of the routines are broken.
That is, like, let me ask you this. When you think only some of our routines are broken, how does that feel?
There's a lot less anxiety associated with it.
Well, really think about it. What feeling comes over you? Only some of our routines are broken.
Almost a reassurance that the world isn't in total chaos, that we do still have some normalcy.
Yeah. The only thing that's changed about in your mind in the last 5 minutes when we've been talking is you decided to think about what was right instead of just focusing on this all or nothing thought. All the routines are broken. It's mayhem.
Okay.
The important thing for you is you didn't even need help getting your new thought. You just needed to talk it out to yourself. Here's what's still normal. Here's some of the new normals that we have already adjusted to. I will just tell you, like, I think that a lot of us, we may not love everything that's going on. And yeah, like, I think we've gotten into the habit of thinking we want the old back. And I think that's probably one of the worst thoughts we could have right now.
Okay.
We didn't even want the old when we had it. We only want it now because we think, oh, well, now it's no different than, remember when we were, well, I never had this experience, but a lot of you have had this experience. Remember when we were younger and we weighed like what we always wanted to weigh and we thought we were a fat ass? And then now we're like, oh my God, if only I weighed that, I would walk naked through the streets bragging about it.
True.
The only thing that would have changed about that weight is our thoughts about it. It's the same thing now. So thinking, like, I will promise you, if you work on deciding right now that my thoughts are always what cause my feelings, this is not what's causing my feelings, this circumstance, when you go back and the new life, like, comes in, because you'll either step into it understanding how to do it calmly or peacefully, or you'll step into it going, this is going to be so hard to readjust to. We just got used to all being at home. Now I'm going to have to do this. And then you'll suddenly, everything that you hated before will be right back in your face. We all think it's like it was all rainbows and daisies. Hindsight's 20/20. Now, one good exercise you could do is whatever you think was so great about those routines and stuff, write about it now. So that when you go back to it, you have another set of thoughts to go along with it. Because I promise you, when you go back, whatever anxious thoughts you had, they're going to come right along for the ride. They're just laying dormant right now because they're not getting triggered.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So you came up with your own thoughts.
Well, and it's amazing that just a couple words in the thought line can make a big difference.
A huge difference. Like, only some of the routines. And you can, like, start with are broken, and then in a few days, only some of the routines are different.
Okay.
You can start even leveling up from there. You can start with, like, saying, like, I don't even want to think that this is working right now. So some of these things, I'm just going to say, are broken. And then you can get to, and some of the routines we're figuring out. You can, like, there's a thousand different ways. It doesn't have to be, like, I think a lot of you will see this, say all the routines are broken in mayhem. It was always meant to be this way. That is such a leap for your brain to make.
Yeah.
So don't make it.
Yeah, I think that's where the modeling, I joined the end of December, and that's where the modeling is, I'm having a hard time with it, because I don't want to go from, you know, total gloom and doom to rainbows and daisies, and it's like, well, I don't even believe myself. Yeah, so trying to come up with something in between.
Yeah, the in between is the rainbow and Daisy now.
Okay.
Because doesn't it feel like, doesn't feeling reassured feel so much fucking better than walking around with anxiety thinking I'm just living in the mayhem? I don't know how the fuck I'm going to survive. I got anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that was a good one. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Corinne.
All righty. Bye. Kara. I don't know if it's Kara or Kara. My friend. I have two friends. I've got a Kara and a Kara. So we'll figure out which one you are.
I'm a Kara.
You're a Kara? Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's so funny because like my friend Kara, I'll spend time with my friend Kara for a week and then have to go see Kara and then start calling her Kara. And she's like, Kara. And I'm like, fuck. And then I'll get my head
calling her Kara. If it sounds close, I answer to it.
That's the way I am with Corinne. So. All right. So what are we coaching on? I know we talked some in Facebook, but you'll have to catch everybody else up.
That's actually what I was wanting to be coached on. What I had asked initially was that, you know, I've been gaining and losing the same 5 pounds for I don't know how long. And I was having a problem with eating the planned food, even though it's food that I like. And so you and I posted back and forth. And I finally realized that the problem, I think, is I'm in a job that I do not like. And I have a lot of sad feelings and a lot of depression associated with that. And so.
Wait a minute. It's not associated with the job. Jobs don't create sad feelings and jobs don't create depression. Okay. Where does it come from?
The job I'm in, I have a supervisor who makes me feel...
No, stop.
Okay.
I have a supervisor who says or does these things. Yes. Then I start thinking this, therefore I feel. Okay. You have to take ownership.
Okay.
Otherwise, guess what? You're always going to be trying to go to work with a thought you don't believe, trying to make yourself feel good about something you think is wrong.
Yes.
That never works.
No, it is not working.
And it's because you're not taking ownership of like, these are the things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to work on my relationship with myself by identifying what is it that I am allowing myself to think and believe about the job that hoses me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So continue. Tell me about this boss.
This boss, he's one of these who knows everything and makes me feel like I'm the dumbest person on the planet every day.
Just one more time. Say, he says things and I make it mean I'm the dumbest person on the planet.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to put this here. I'm the dumbest person on the planet. Tell me something the boss has said where you were like, well, I'm the dumbest person on the planet.
One of the reasons he says he hired me is because I have was an English major, and I'm great at editing and proofreading. Okay. Yet when I do that for him, he always has to point out something that I've missed or that he wants to challenge me on, even if it is correct.
Okay. So, boss points out my mistakes. Is that what we got?
Yes.
And your thought is, like, well, I am an English major.
Well, I think it's the way he says it.
No, it's not the way he says it. What if I just looked at you and said, like, this, well, let me tell you how I talk to my employees. It's one of the ones I said this morning. I wish I could even find one of my little rants this morning about our planning, our lack of systems, basically. It was so smart ass too. I have a system forming in my head. Everyone's getting trained. And that was the intention that I wanted it to come across as. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, so explain to me this. Why are we doing it this way? It seems redundant and wasteful of our time. Now, I know HR people are rolling in their, like, collective chairs right now. But the way that I present it is, I am your circumstance. I want you to figure out how to think and feel.
Okay.
That makes the relationship for you and me way easier than me going, okay, well, I know Betsy tends to react this way. And I, you know, and Kathy, though, she can do this. And then this person does this. And so I really need to change how I think about blah, 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 blah. Rather than just being like, I think Kara made a mistake. I'm going to tell her about it.
Okay.
Now, you cannot be going to, I'm the dumbest person on the planet when your boss gives you feedback. No matter how they say it, or anyway, because unless you're going to quit,
nope,
for your own sanity, mm-hmm. decide that you're not a dumbass.
Okay. I'm not.
No, you are. You just got through telling me when he says that, it makes me feel like I'm the dumbest person on the planet. That's your thought.
Yes.
That's not his thought. That's yours. And that's the one you have to own. You know what he thinks? I think the semicolon's like in the wrong place. And I want to make sure she knows. For fuck's sake, she's an English major.
He throws that back at me all the time.
Yeah, I would too. I'd be like, I'm feeling really smart. I'm catching mistakes that an English major is making. I want to make sure we all know.
Very good point.
Yeah.
And I know deep down that I'm not the dumbest person on the planet. I go from, you know, 0 to 60 and, you know.
Right. But let me ask you this though. Why, what's really going on? There's something more going on here. It's like you have a boss who points out your mistakes. You mm-hmm. have a boss that is highlighting things you're doing wrong. So to me, what this says is the relationship you have with yourself mm-hmm. when you're making mistakes is not really good. So what is the conversation? Let's say that you're having a meeting with yourself. Mm-hmm. The circumstance is Kara notices she's eating off plan. Mm-hmm. What is the thought that happens after that? Is it like, this is amazing information to know. Thank God. Or is it, fuck, how much longer is it going to take to lose weight if I keep doing this?
It's that one.
Yeah.
That's the thought I always go to.
Yeah. It's really the work for you is forget mm-hmm. all this. You told me, I like the money I make. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep that money right in my pocket. So that's a great, beautiful thought to motivate you to show up for work.
Yes.
But all of this shit will get cleaned up when you clean up the relationship you ultimately have with yourself.
Okay.
Why your boss is so triggering is because he's very verbal about mm-hmm. things that you're not doing perfectly, and it triggers you to self beat yourself down.
It does, because the more I think about it, you know, I've been overweight pretty much my entire life. And so the one thing that I had was I was the smart kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I might not have been the prettiest or the skinniest or whatnot, but I was the smart kid. And so when that gets questioned, this is what happens.
Well, I think that's part of the story that you need to rewrite is your boss questioning your intelligence. That's what you're assuming.
Yeah.
That is a very lethal thought for you. Like, especially if the one thing that you've always said, okay, in all these other areas, my self-esteem is not intact. It is fragile at best. Mm-hmm. But I have this one that I hang my self-worth on, my yes. intelligence. And now I actually work for someone who shows me things that aren't, that you were never perfect there. You just always had thoughts you were. But mm-hmm. now he's pointing out things and you're questioning, is that even still valid?
Exactly.
Rather than just thinking, yeah, that was a good question of him. That is a typo. It doesn't mean I'm dumb. It doesn't mean anything. It means I should probably fix the typo.
That makes it sound so, makes so much more sense than what I had made it mean in my head.
I really think working on self-love, I keep sending people every week over to this. We're getting ready to redo self-love anyway. We're going to do mm-hmm. it. It's probably going to be a couple months before we have so many things for you guys right now. But once you do the self-love, mm-hmm. really start working on, like, I want you to think about your boss now as like an opportunity to really start managing your mind about your own worthiness, about okay. your own thoughts about yourself. And that will translate into also, like, I need you doing more work on, like, what do I like about me? Mm-hmm. What's right about me? Like, do some of that. But also, what are the things that I still think aren't good about me? And start going to bat for yourself.
Okay.
Because whenever anybody comes to me, and I know we were joking and all this stuff, and I do, like, I drop, like, ass white short comments. I'm just like, you know, here we go. And I'm not trying to make them feel bad or anything. I just like to move at lightning speed. And I always feel like the reason why you guys get the best of us is because we don't do drama back and forth and we don't try right. to manage each other's feelings. I can correct something fast with them by not having to say it in a way that builds up their self-esteem. Because I expect my coaches to do that work themselves. Because they always know whatever we're working on mm-hmm. is so we all get to be successful. All the no BS women. Mm-hmm. Every single member of this tribe. And I want you to do the same thing for you. That when you're getting feedback from people mm-hmm. and they're telling you the stuff that's wrong and junk, that's how you grow.
Okay.
And right now, your first growth is to learn how to still think highly of yourself no matter what. And saying, I am really smart. And I'm really glad he's pointing this shit out because this is going to teach me how mm-hmm. to be even smarter.
I hadn't even thought about it that way.
Well, it's hard when we're concerned. It's hard to think about it like that when we are very insistent that people make us feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why, like, this is, you just said something so amazing. The reason why you haven't thought about it that way is because you never understood that it was your thinking was the problem in the first place.
That's true.
So why change your thinking if you're not the problem?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And shout out to the C-Notes.
I love the C-Notes. But I'm so glad you brought this up. It's so good. And, like, if y'all want to search her name, if you're listening to this call, it's K-A-R-A-C-R-C-A-R-M-A-C-K. It was a really good post yesterday. And so the back and forth between us in that was, was it your post or was it someone else's?
It was my post.
Yeah. The back and forth in that one was particularly good. So, I would say, Betsy, if you will search for that post and just take mine and hers back and forth, we may even want to include that in the show notes because it was good. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Okay, guys. It has been a long time. We are going to let me answer one last question or one. Let's see what we got over here. And then we're going to get out of here. What is the best way to re-enter weight loss? Get started. I've been at my goal weight. I don't know why this is taking like twice to do this. I've been at my goal weight since November. However, with summer approaching, I want to see how I feel about 10 to 15 pounds. However, more pounds off. However, I'm struggling with how to get back in weight loss. I ate off plan a lot while in maintenance. Not so much overeating, just not planning realistic. Get right back into realistic planning. That's it. Just make a realistic plan for this week, and then each week level it up a little bit until you start noticing the losing. That's really the key, and not making it more complicated than that. Do you have any tips for stopping snacking on long work commutes? Don't put food in the car. That would be tip number one. Water. Listen to my podcast. Have a plan every day that says no snacking in the car. A sticky note in your car that says we will not be snacking today. And be really solid on why you don't want to snack in the car. Say like, and here's the reasons why. Here are my goals. Here are the things. This is why I'm not going to snack today. What did you mention creating a new thought from? I'm not sure what that means. We want to basically be, I don't know what I was talking about there, but basically what you want to do is you want to make sure that when you're creating new thoughts and stuff, that you're creating thoughts that feel really doable for you. So like if you noticed when we were doing the like everything, like all my routines are broken and it's mayhem, like allowing yourself to go to bat for, okay, that's an all or nothing thought. So let me think about what is going right now. Let me think about those things. Let me give myself some proof ahead of time that it's not this, even though it felt true and that you could give evidence of all the routines that are broken and everything. It's not useful because it feels really bad. And so you give yourself like airtime over here on what is working and what is okay and blah, blah, blah. And then you can look at the thought and question it like, so is everything broken? Only some of the things are broken, but there are lots of things that are right, or there are at least half the things are right. So there you go. Okay, guys, that's it. Y'all have a good one. And I think I'm coaching tomorrow night. I am just on a roll these days. Let's see. Yes, I will be coaching moms that are at home with their kids. So if you are a mother who is at home with her kids and you want coaching tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Central Time, March 30th. And if you aren't a mom with kids at home and you just want to come and listen, you'll learn a lot. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.